This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 385 and a quarter, down 4.5. May corn, 393, down 4.75. July corn, 4.5, down 4.75. March soybeans, 999 and a quarter, down 8. May soybeans, 1002 and a quarter, down 9. July soybeans, 1006 and 3/4, down 8 and a quarter. March wheat, 510 and a quarter, down 17 and a half. May wheat, 507, down 12 and a half. July wheat, 511 and a half, down 10 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices did end lower on Friday afternoon. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 6 lower at 356 to 380. And soybean bids were down 6 to 8 cents at 969 to 993. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 5 cents at 353 to 382, while soybean bids were 5 to 8 lower at 977 to 1007. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 5 lower at 370 to 386, soybean bids dropped 8 cents at 978 to 1015, and the wheat bids fell 13 to 15 cents at 415 to 491. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 8 cents lower at 10.05 to 10.19, basis steady range from 6 to 20 over the March. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $367.50 to $377.50 per ton. That's unchanged from Thursday, with basis also steady at 20 to 30 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 5 cents lower at 385 to 392, with basis steady ranging from option to 7 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 cents lower at 375 to 385, with basis steady ranging from 10 under to option the March. Soybeans ended down 10 to 14 cents at 10.01 to 10.13, with basis 1 to 6 cents lower at 2 to 13 over the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 4 to 5 lower at 401 to 404. These same elevators dropped their soybean bids by 8 cents with quotations at 1039 to 1042. Soft wheat bids sharply lower on Friday, ranging from 510 to 531, and Milo down 4 to 5 at 445 to 461. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 368 to 386. New crop soybean bids range from 9.25 up to 940. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 371 to 386. New crop soybean bids at 938 to 979. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 373 to 386. New crop soybean bids at 922 to 950, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois. Those range from 474 up to an even $5. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle, $156.70, down $2.22. April live cattle, $148.52, down $2.97. June live cattle, $141.87, down $2.12. March feeder cattle, $199.17, down $3.37. April feeder cattle, $198.35, down $3.22. May feeder cattle, $197.82, down $3.07. April lean hogs, $67.40, up 35 cents. May lean hogs, $77.30, up 57 cents. June lean hogs, $81.72, up 27 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 20th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 31 cents higher in the range of $50 to $61.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $58.41. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading mostly steady, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 26 to 33, 4 to 5 weights 29 to 35, 5 to 6 weights 31 to 36, and 6 weights and up 32 to 37. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to $1.50 higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $33 to $39.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 12,057 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 153 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 144 to 158.50. Select steers, 144 to 152.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 143.50. Select and choice Holstein steers, 134 to 143. And select Holstein steers were 127 to 132.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 159 to 161.75. Select and choice for 153 to 156. And select heifers, 147 to 154. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 157 to 161 and on a dress basis at 252 to 258. Heifers on a live basis traded at 157 to 160 and on a dress basis 253 to 258. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 252 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $71.50, and that was 82 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $240.31, that was 39 cents higher, with select carcasses at $237.79, and that was $1.08 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 103,000. That compared to 105,000 last week and 100,000 for a year ago. On a year-to-date basis, beef slaughter is running 6.87% behind 2014. Hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000. That compared to 425,000 last week and 376,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter on a year-to-date basis is running ahead by 1.4%. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The Senate Agriculture Committee's first hearing is scheduled for Tuesday. Chairman Pat Roberts says it's been 1 year since the passage of the Farm Bill, and the committee has a responsibility to ensure Farm Bill programs are working as efficiently as Congress intended. Farmers and ranchers are working with the Agriculture Department to sign up for Farm Bill programs, but Roberts says there have been challenges in the process. Recognizing these concerns, the committee will hear thoughts from farmers and ranchers on the first panel, then Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack will testify on these concerns. There's been quite a bit of research done recently on more intensive nutrient management practices for corn and soybeans. Tristan Byrer from the University of Illinois was at the West Central Agronomy Day on Thursday to discuss more intensive phosphorus management in corn and soybeans.
Yes, so today I talked about rethinking phosphorus management for higher yield corn and soybean production systems. Nutrient management in general needs a lot more focus from producers, especially those that are aimed at increasing their yields, but today I focus primarily on phosphorus. Reason phosphorus is that in both corn and soybeans, it's a nutrient that is probably not given as much attention as it probably deserves because it has one of the highest harvest indexes. By harvest indexes, I mean that it for the amount of grain that is produced, there's more nutrients in the grain of phosphorus than any other nutrients, and thus more of it is removed from the field every year. Phosphorus management in general goes beyond just trying to manage how we get the nutrients applied to the crop and that phosphorus itself is important. We can think of the 4R strategies: the right source, the right rate, the right time, and right placement. And each of these can interact and have different implications on how farmers grow both corn and soybeans. Aside from higher grain yields, we might also focus on how each of these 4Rs impact the from a standpoint of nutrient loss or how it affects the environment. And growers probably need to not only manage phosphorus but other nutrients together with this.
And a part of the 4R strategy, something you really focused on in the placement area, was banded versus broadcast. Would you like to touch on that?
Yes. So from a banded versus a broadcast application, broadcast is from applying a fertilizer perspective is most common in growers' production systems because it's convenient, it's easy, it's timely, and a lot of times it's cost effective. Banded fertility is something that's not necessarily new, it's been around for a while, but it takes a little bit more management. It might require some additional equipment and time. When I say banded, I sometimes make people think of strip till, placing nutrients directly beneath the plant so they have quick access to the nutrients, even though it can be done in conventional systems. The advantages from banded fertility versus that of broadcast is that when placed directly underneath the plants, the plants can have quicker access to the nutrients. The nutrient is placed in the soil, so it's not lost across the soil surface, which would be more prone to environmental losses, so it helps prevent the nutrient from being lost to a higher degree. But also, even though not every year, it increases yield, but often it sets the foundation for higher yields. I focus for foundation of higher yields because banded fertility increases the kernel number on plants, and kernel number is a component of how yield is achieved. We think of, for corn, plant population by kernel number by kernel weight, and by increasing kernel number, which is determined earlier in the season, we have a higher yield potential. We can finish off the season with higher or methods that might increase or maintain kernel weight, such as irrigation or fungicides and things like that. So producers that manage not just one practice, such as doing one additional thing, but instead do several things to manage their crops to a higher degree, often will have better results than that of just a grower trying to do one thing at a time. Also, if a grower is managing a system to a higher level, if they omit something or don't do something, or the standpoint that it's always easy to look in hindsight what you didn't do, what hurts you, it often costs you more than if you were to try to do just one thing.
All right, and then of course, in order to judge how our soils are doing, we need to run soil tests. And one of your concluding points really touched on the soil testing aspect of this. Would you like to elaborate?
Right, so we focus primarily on higher yields, and soil test calibrations for the most part were done in the 1960s, 1970s. And with today's higher yielding modern corn hybrids and soybean varieties, we achieve yields a lot lot higher than that of that time era when soil tests were first calibrated or later calibrated. And I think we need to look at our soil tests calibrated for today's higher yields. A lot of things have changed in the way we manage today's modern corn and soybean varieties and hybrids. Plant population has increased nearly double that of what it was when soil tests were last calibrated. And thus, we have a lot smaller root systems that might not be able to explore the soil for the same amount of nutrients that might normally be there. Row spacing changes have been narrowed and other things. So by understanding how soil tests might need to be reevaluated to look at today's modern production systems, we might find that they might need to be changed more than what we have been reliant upon in the past.
All right, very good. And is there anything else you would like to touch on that you covered in your presentation before we go here today?
For the most part, managing higher degree of corn and soybean goes hand in hand. Managing one crop, you can't necessarily fertilize just your corn and hopefully your soybeans will be able to reap the same benefits. You need to manage each crop independently, and generally it's all about mitigating risk. Often there's costs associated with higher degrees of management, and not every single thing will pay year in and out, but you have to look over the long term. What do you have to do to mitigate the risk from weather? Or if you are given a weather year that will give you higher yields, are you glad that you had your solid foundation established from a management perspective to begin with?
Again, that was Tristan Byrer from the University of Illinois. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.